Each year on this Sunday after Christmas, the church gives us the solemnity of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family. And it's kind of appropriate at a time when Christmas is so much about gathering with family. People make big efforts to drive from all over the country to come home for Christmas. I'll be home for Christmas, as the song says. It's great for me to be able to be home for Christmas with my family. One of the blessings in our family is that we have a large family that still kind of all lives in this area. I'm pretty much related to everyone in Leavenworth County, and we actually try to get together, which is a blessing, but it's also, especially for a priest like me who is used to living kind of in quiet in a monastery, all of a sudden you take a house that was maybe built to hold 5 people, and you try to shove about 40 people into it, all to have a meal cooked by one woman in her 80s. It's quite an accomplishment that we go through each year in the name of celebration and Christmas, and it's beautiful to have our families together. And in some way, this Feast of the Holy Family is meant to be a celebration of all families. But as we look at the Holy Family, you know, they live up to everything that Paul talked about in our second reading. We can look at them and say they're full of humility and kindness and compassion, and the Holy Family, aren't they great? But it can be a bit of a temptation to look at them and say, well, that's them. They're the Holy Family, and then there's my family. It's not. And we can look at our families and see everything that's wrong. And if we're honest and we look at our families, you know, these gatherings at Christmas aren't always, you know, joy to the world and everybody happy. I saw on the internet the other day that some adult children of one family had gotten together for a pre-Christmas meeting, and they put together a list. The following topics will not be discussed at Christmas with mom and dad under no circumstances, lest we kill each other. That's part of family too. It's difficult to have all these lives come together and try to make a big happy Christmas. Oftentimes, sadly, we have to say that Christmas Day ends with, let's say, let's just go to a movie so we don't kill each other and nobody gets hurt. That's part of family life too. The struggles, the difficulties. You know, if we're going to celebrate a feast day in honor of the family, I think, especially in our day today, we have to be honest about what really is the state of our families. And looking at it, maybe more than any time in history, our families are struggling. There's a lot of suffering in our families that becomes even more apparent at Christmas. Loved ones that are estranged from the rest of the family. Children who don't follow like it counsels in the scriptures to listen to their mother, their father. Children that maybe aren't here at Mass that decided to stay home instead. Spouses that have decided to abandon their spouse. Something very sad that I have to deal with all the time as a priest. These are the real realities of our families today. They don't often look maybe like Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You know, I live in Washington, D.C. now at Catholic U studying canon law, and so I'm kind of right in the middle of political things. And, you know, a lot of times we look at the problems with our government, and it's something to talk about in politics, and we wonder, well, how can we fix our country? How can we fix what's going on in Washington? Maybe we'll elect better people or something. The truth is, if we want to fix our country, it's not going to be about fixing our government. Because ultimately, the government is just a product of what's going on in the country. If we really want to do something to fix our country, to fix our world, it's got to start by fixing our families. That's the core of everything that would be wrong with society. John Paul II said it very wisely. He said, as the family goes, so goes the nation. If our nation seems to be sick in many ways, it's because our families are sick. I was kind of enjoying a little bit the celebration and the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. I love history, and in fact, on my mom's side, I said I'm related to everyone in Leavenworth County. I also happen to be related to President Kennedy, probably in some weird sort of way that I'm told maybe we're a cousin. And there's constantly playing over the month of November his speeches, and I love that part in his inaugural address where he says, you know, ask not what your country could do for you, but what you could do for your country. A great kind of way to put a Catholic spin, as it were, on what we always believe, that to give of ourselves rather than to try to take is ultimately what's going to make society successful and healthy. But it's also a good question to ask for our families. What can I give to my family rather than what will my family do for me? So many times as a priest, I have to work and counsel with couples that might be struggling in their marriages. You know, this wasn't a problem until almost recently, this rampant kind of spousal abandonment and divorce. I love my family history, and I looked just this morning, actually, in my family tree maker program, where I've got all my ancestors figured out. And up until the time I was born, I've got 505 people in my family tree program. They're all my relatives, and there they are. There are 146 marriages in those 505 people that I've documented. You know how many divorces amongst those 146 marriages? Zero. 146 marriages, zero divorces up until the time I was born that I've documented in my family line. That's pretty amazing when you think today it just seems so common. What happened? Well, I think to some extent it goes back to ask not what your family, your spouse, your kids can do for you. Rather, how am I called to sacrifice myself? Marriage is all about sacrifice. Healthy families are ones where each individual family member is not worried about, what am I getting out of this? It's interesting to work with new couples that are coming to get married, and today it's a very popular thing to think, well, we're getting married because I found my soulmate. It just makes me want to kick them out of my office for a little bit, quite frankly. Don't ever marry your soulmate, because you'll be wrong. There's no way a human person could possibly be your soulmate, okay? God created your soul. God is your soulmate. No human person will ever fulfill you. And if anything's changed about marriage, I think maybe it's expectations. I don't think my great-great-great-grandparents ever looked at each other and said, you fulfill me. You know, I just don't think that happened. There were too many things to take care of. You had a family to raise, and they weren't worried about, gosh, am I happy? Am I being fulfilled? Am I getting what I want out of this? No, you've got 12 kids, and they need to be fed, and you've got a farm to take care of, and we have to do that. It wasn't about them. Now I think we have this idea that somehow marriage is about me, and I've got to get what I want. And so many times people come in, and Father, I'm just not getting what I want out of my marriage, or my kids, or even the kids come in, and Father, I would be obedient to my parents, but you know, my parents, you don't understand, Father. I'd love to be a good son or daughter, but my parents, Father, they're dumb. Well, I had dumb parents too. I mean, they got smarter, though. They really did. I mean, look at them now. They're setting up for mass and everything. And it's amazing how smart they got over all these years. Nobody's situation is perfect. It's so easy to look at other families, other spouses, their relationships, and say, gosh, if only the circumstances were different, then I'd be holy. I mean, I could do it. I'd lay down my life for my spouse if I just had the right one. This just isn't it. See, Father, I married the wrong person. I got the wrong family. If I had the right family, then we'd be the holy family. It's all a big lie. That is a lie spun by the devil to rob us of the happiness that is meant to be family life. Look at the beautiful example today of the holy family. The ones that we want to idolize and say, aren't they great? Well, look at what happened with them. These are two people specifically chosen by God to be parents to the Son of God when he comes into the world. God had thousands and thousands of years to prepare for this moment. It went exactly the way he wanted it to. And yet, look at their circumstances. Jesus is conceived to a woman who is not married, a young girl. Although it was planned, Mary had other plans. She was trying to do God's will and thought she'd be a perpetual virgin. She wasn't going to have children. And here comes an angel telling her, sorry, different plans. You're going to be the mother of God. And then Joseph, who plans to protect Mary, be her husband, all of a sudden finds out Mary's pregnant and it's not his child. Imagine the difficulty that Joseph had to face. And then, as soon as they clear all that up and the angel reveals everything, that this really is the Son of God, and it comes time for him to be born, well, a census comes up. You think God would have taken care of that. Why did there have to be a census right then so that they have to go 100 miles to Bethlehem? If I ever married Joseph, I'd be thinking, what are you doing, God? This is your son. Can't we just kind of stay put here at Nazareth where things are nice? No, they had to go 100 miles to Bethlehem. And at least when they get there, there could have been a spot for him, but there's not. There's no room in the inn. Little Jesus has to be born in a cave. And then finally, when he's born, we get our gospel today. Just when Mary, Joseph, Jesus, it's all quiet. We got our little manger scene. Isn't that beautiful? That lasted for a couple hours. That manger scene, as beautiful it is, lasted a couple hours. And then as finally Joseph puts his head on his not pillow, probably a rock in a cave with animals. Hey, Joseph, it's that angel again. Yeah, you can't stay here. In fact, you need to get up right now and go to Egypt. I mean, I would have just been ready to throw up my hands at that point if I were Joseph. I'm like, what are you doing, God? This is supposed to be your plan? We have to live as refugees, aliens in Egypt? Couldn't you have done better than this? The point is, if we look even at the Holy Family, no one would look at that and say, gosh, that's just ideal. It's full of sacrifice, suffering, incredible requirements of trust on their part. But notice what we never see in Scripture. Nowhere does Mary or Joseph ever ask, well, God, I mean, really, what's in this for me? I mean, is this going to make me happy? I mean, yeah, I'll be the mother of God and everything, but will I be fulfilled? I mean, we can't even imagine Mary or Joseph asking those questions. They simply say yes. Now, there is something that all of us can imitate. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter what our families look like, if we want to be the Holy Family, we can be like Mary and Joseph in that sense. To say, yes, God, whatever you want. And not be surprised when God's plans don't look like our plans. If we were to design our perfect family, it would probably not look like the families we've actually got. And that's okay. That's the way God intends it. Because our families are little holiness factories. And the number one thing that stands in the way of holiness is us, our own selfishness. That's why God gives us families, because you can't have a successful family and be selfish. There was a lot of attention paid to Pope Francis recently when he wrote a letter, and it talked about, it seemed like he was kind of condemning capitalism a little bit. Well, John Paul II said the same thing. He condemned communism, and he said, but don't think that capitalism, unbridled, is going to save you either. Why? Well, because capitalism as an economic system depends upon selfishness. Capitalism means I have to decide what's in it for me. I will open this business because I think there'll be a big return. I'll get lots of profit. If there's no chance for profit, I don't open that business. And that is a perfectly good way to run an economic system. It's created the most successful, economic, powerful country in the history of the world. But it is a terrible recipe for success in families. You can't live your family life saying, what's in it for me? If I invest myself by sacrificing here, what will I get out of it? Will I get more out of this than I put into it? That is a recipe for disaster in our families, and I think that is ultimately at the root of why we see all this trouble in our family. Mary and Joseph are the answer. Each of them is willing to do what is good for the other, and good ultimately for the history of the world. We may not think that our family is going to save the world. But the truth is, my little family tree maker program, none of those 146 marriages probably set out to save the world. And yet I can look back and I'm proud of my family. Look at that. They've been Catholic back until I traced them to the 1600s. They've suffered Catholic persecution. They remained married. They moved to other countries for the good of their families. They came to this country seeking a better life for their family. All throughout history, we are here today because of sacrifices on behalf of our families. The question then is, what will we do with the circumstances God has given us? We can't simply look at other families. A seminary professor of mine often said, if the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, it's time to start watering your own lawn a little bit. So maybe for this Feast of the Holy Family, as we celebrate this season of Christmas, let's see what we can do for our families. Whatever the situations are, we can't bring back spouses that have left us or abandoned us, but we can still pray for them. We can sacrifice for them. We can't force our children to come to Mass or to come back to the faith, but we can pray for them, sacrifice for them. We can get holy and try to make others holy with us. Perhaps the best answer then for our Holy Family Feast is to rephrase President Kennedy a little bit, my cousin, my family member, ask not what your family will do for you. Ask not even what God will do for you. Ask what you can do for your family. Ask what you can do for the greater glory of God. If we do that, one little family at a time, we just might find that we can, in fact, save the world. Oh, and by the way, we'll be happy. How about that? We'll be happy if we do God's will. Merry Christmas, Merry Solemnity of the Holy Family. may God bless your families exactly as they are, as we all try to be more like the Holy Family by becoming holy ourselves.